Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show. Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, we're back for another episode, and we don't do a lot of cool things, but we do a few cool things. We have a few cool friends, and this guy happens to be one of those. He just won the biggest game in all of football in the world. His name is Ben Neiman. He is a Chief. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 92 of the podcast. And this one is just going to be the Double XL head cast, the Super Bowl champion cast, the who can talk more shit to Kluver in an hour cast, the reminisce on the back corner of the locker room and all the great times that we had and how I used to smoke this dude in races and now he's running down dudes in the Super Bowl. One of our good buddies, Ben, welcome back to the podcast, this time in a little bit different circumstances.
Yes, sir. What's up, boys? Appreciate you guys having me on.
Ben, you're you've done some things recently, huh?
I have.
It's been an eventful year.
It's been a decent year. Last time we talked to you officially on the podcast was a wild day at Falcon Lakes golf course in Kansas City.
Was getting wild on the old syringe on the course.
The beer syringe was out, and
there was only one way to do an Iowa tailgate with us.
If you haven't, go back and listen to that episode. I believe it's episode 39. If I had to recall, but it's somewhere around there. It's called something like the Walk-Ons headline a golf tournament, and it was basically an hour of the second half hour was a shit show of a bunch of drunk guys talking about Mike Pence and a bunch of other shit that was going down, and it was a hell of a time. But I think when we left that day, someone somewhere was like, "Yo, Ben, we need you to come back on after you guys win the Super Bowl this year."
And guess what?
And so here we are.
Ben predicted it, though, and now we can talk about how he predicted it, because after they lost the AFC championship game last year, I was talking to Ben, and he was sick about it, right? And he's just like, dude, we're winning it all next year, period. It's not happening again, and then here we are. Ben won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, dude. I feel like that was just everybody's mindset within our team. We were so close. We knew we had the pieces, and it was like we got there last year, and you know, it was like we got the pieces to do it. We just got to bring it home, and that's what I told you right after the game. Everybody was sick within the whole organization, and then flipped it this year, got it done, man. So,
dude, so like you played in the Big Ten Championship, you played in the Rose Bowl, we played in some big ass games in Kinnick. Where, like, how much more does the Super Bowl, like, how insane?
It was sweet. It was crazy for sure. But it sounds wild, but I mean, you guys know how this is. But we really treated it so much like a normal game. There was so much difference with like the TV timeout length, and we were on the field like 25 minutes before kickoff, just with all the pregame stuff going on. But we treated it so much like a normal game that I feel like that helped us in the long run win the thing. But then obviously, you know, the stage coming out and the after party, you know, the trophy ceremony, all that stuff was reckless.
Can you guys imagine KF coaching in a Super Bowl being like, all right, guys, I know that this week they're going to have us do a bunch of shit, okay? It's media week, right? But we got to ignore the fucking noise. I know this week is literally all about the noise, all right? But we got to ignore it all, okay?
There's going to be a whole lot of Mickey Mouse shit going around, huh? We got to block that shit out.
And if we win the Super Bowl, I guarantee we can go to Disneyland, all right? I think they'll let us in. Mickey's still going to be there. Ben.
So, Ben, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go, Kev.
The clock hit zero. The Kansas City Chiefs won a Super Bowl. Did you have to go see a doctor for your erection lasting longer than 2 hours?
Man, I was hyped, I'll tell you that much. But it was pandemonium, man. I don't even really know where my emotions were at that point, honestly. I was hyped.
All right, bro. So where were you at with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter compared to the clock hit zero? Like, where was the emotional roller coaster?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were down 10 at that point.
Yeah.
I remember, right? And I mean, we hadn't been playing great defensively. You know, they had run kind of a lot of like just trick dick type of plays on us, reverses, I don't know, a bunch of stuff. And we just had to settle in. And I mean, I was on the bench and I said, I can't remember who I was talking to. And I said, to be in this spot, what other offense in the whole NFL would you pick to have on your side to bring you back? Nobody, you know, with the pieces we had. So it was like, we got to get a stop and just get a stop, get a score, just one possession at a time. And clock hit zero and it was pandemonium. So
Drake said, Drake mentioned how last year you guys lose in the AFC title game and it's just sickness, right? And and we've felt that sickness before. We've mentioned it.
Yes. Compare losing the AFC championship to losing the Big Ten championship.
Yeah. I want to hear, was it a similar locker room feel? Was it worse? Was it better? Like how did that feel? I know it was your first year. Well, no, your second year, your first year.
First year, yeah.
Yeah, so just talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a similar feeling. You guys know how that was. Just in both of those games, you know, we were in a spot to win, and then you lose, and it feels like all the life gets sucked out of you and your team and everything. And it's, you know, in college, that at that Big Ten championship, we knew we were going to go to a good bowl still and have another game together. At that point, people go their separate ways. Guys are going to different teams, all mm-hmm. that. Yeah, it was different for me, though, just because that was my rookie year, my first year, and I wasn't as tight with, I guess, right. The team as I was.
That's what I figured.
At Iowa, you know, I had been in the program for a little bit at that point, but, I mean, both of those were gut-wrenchers, man. So
yeah. You talk about you guys know how you had the pieces. Everyone knew you had the pieces. You guys got a big old piece named Patrick Mahomes. Who the fuck is that guy, and what potions and people does he have to sacrifice before the game to be able to do what he does on the field?
Man, I wish you guys could just see him in practice. Like last year when I did scout team, like he no-looked me multiple times. Just I mean, he'll just throw some balls like where he's running out of the pocket off his back foot, like 40 yards across the field to Tyreek, who's just like scramble drilled. I mean, it's unreal. Like,
well, speaking of that, pretty big play in the game, 3rd and 15, and he finds Tyreek about 40 yards downfield, just in a hole. I got to imagine, like you said, you know, what other offense would you want with those two, especially after what you guys did to the Titans? That was the game you guys came back from, like, or 21 down or whatever.
We were down 24, and then the Titans, we were down 10.
Oh, Texans, yeah. Texans, okay.
Yeah, the Texans game, I thought it was over, dude. Like,
I mean, I thought it was over. We were down 24 in the first, I think.
That's what I'm saying.
The first quarter, and you guys came back not only to win, but you covered.
Smacked them.
You covered a 7-point spread, and I think you also covered the 13-point teaser, which is absolutely insane. There are people in Vegas who I'm sure, like, jumped out of buildings because of
it. Ruined a lot of days there. Also gave a lot of people fat pockets. I'm hoping you guys were some of them. But
well, Ben, man, it's funny you mentioned that. A couple of weeks ago, we had an episode where we're predicting we're going to win the Super Bowl. three of your buddies here, two of them were not with you. But you know who was.
You're a real one, loyal.
You know who's with you, Ben.
But did you listen to the reasoning?
I mean, who cares about the reasoning, boys?
I'm going to go back on that, Kev. You're right. I said I was cheering for the 49ers, but if you do remember, I said that I thought the Chiefs would win.
I know Drake, Bo, and Ike, I think, all definitely picked San Francisco. Kevin was vocal in his support for a fellow linebacker.
Honestly, Clue, I think it's worse that you thought Ben was going to win, and you said, fuck Ben, I'm going to cheer for the 49ers.
Well, sure, on this episode, but when we bring George on, the whole story's flipped. So it's like, I mean,
I'll tell George to his face that I was cheering for Big Head Big Neiman.
Yeah, boys.
Okay.
So, were you wearing the biggest helmet in Super Bowl history?
Man, I'm going to tell you this. I think the line of helmet that I wore this year is getting discontinued.
Oh, no.
And it actually makes my head look even bigger just because I think it's like the most safe helmet they have in the game. But, yeah, it makes my head look even bigger. So, next year, going to be looking a little slimmer out there, man.
Wow.
So, looking forward to it.
Speaking of heads,
awesome bicep workout.
Yeah, dude, what'd you say? Curls, man.
I was about to say, speaking of heads, I'm looking at Kluwer's head for like the first time in months. This is the first time I've seen Kluwer without a hat on since like
hairline's
October.
Pretty far back, huh?
It's not good, boys. You know what? I'm not even ashamed to show it.
It's not good. Oh my God, you're bald as shit.
I got to do the old. You know, you got to comb it over. You got to hide it a little bit. I actually spent about 10 minutes on one of those like Instagram company hair like loss treatment things.
Clue, bro, just let it go.
Are you going with Bo's Rogaine? Or are you going to go with, it's like two different companies.
It was called Keeps. And I actually thought about it. I thought in my head, you know what? What kind of guy am I? Am I just going to like finally go with it? Or am I the kind of guy that really goes out and tries to spend money on trying to keep hair on his head? Do I just fucking just roll with what I got and just stay ugly? And for now, I'm just going to stay ugly, you know?
Just rock. All right, man. You got a wife. She's locked in.
Yeah, no. I mean,
and until you make millions of dollars, you know, running this podcast, then you can get hair implants like LeBron.
Sure.
You could adopt the Jewish religion, wear a yarmulke, and nobody notices your hairline.
Because their attention's on the yarmulke?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm not balding in the back.
I mean, you will soon enough anyways.
I mean, fair shot. Anyway, Ben, we talk a lot of shit about your head on the podcast. I'm just going to say that. A lot of unwarranted shit.
Man, it's all right.
I know. A lot of unwarranted shit. Two people that – and it's funny because you guys are friends. Two people that we talk just so much shit about when it does – the conversation doesn't even pertain to you.
Is Gervas.
Yep, Gervas. Gervas and the size of your head.
Hey, and I can tell you, I lived in that house with that guy too. Very stingy, man.
Stingy.
Tell some more stories, man.
One time, so, you know, we pay a flat rent right there, right? I don't know what it was. Kev, you live there now. Is it $550, $600?
$600.
So this guy doesn't pay rent, you know? Jake doesn't pay rent. His whole deal was, you know, I'm going to take care of the Wi-Fi, the internet, and I'll pay for the TV, right? Well, he apparently this TV bill is getting a little too high for my guy. So he comes downstairs one day and is like, you know what? We're just going to switch everything to Apple TV. I'm not paying for TV anymore. This is too much. And I'm sitting here like, dude, I'm paying $600 for rent and you can't pay for the TV. Jay Shield was living there. Jay was about to move out. He was pissed, dude.
Well, easily.
Scarberry got a little hot.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's tremendous.
Well, he still hasn't taken care of the internet situation because Kevin is frozen half the time on this show. And Easley told a story last week about how Jake and him recently. Now let me remind you that Jake made a full roster this year at one point. Him and Easley split a Jack's Pizza, and he wanted to him to Venmo him for half the Jack's Pizza, which is like a
Jack's
$1.90.
Pizza costs like $3.50.
Yeah. So Gervas confirmed is the biggest asshole when it comes to money on earth.
Oh,
man. So what is it like to guard? I mean, obviously you're not one-on-one with him, but you're on the defense that has to go against Tyreek Hill every day. Like, what is that like? I mean, you guys probably go against the scouts more than you go against him, but talk about some of the freaks on your team. Like you guys have so many.
Yeah. I mean, he's the fastest guy I've ever seen in my life. There's just no way around.
They're talking about him running in the Olympics or something.
Yeah, which to be honest, if he football and track is different speed, but
right.
if he trained specifically for track, I put my money in his basket, man. I think he could do it.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna bet against that guy, but I mean, there was times last year where I was running more scout work, and you know they would have me. He would be, you know, at the number three spot running up down the middle of the field, and I'm a Mike linebacker having to run three vertical, and this kid is dusting me by about 15 yards, and just Pat tosses it right in the basket for about a 60-yard bomb.
and what do you do at that point? Do you just stop after you see three vert, and you just throw your arms up like, Coach, that's no.
Yeah, before the play starts, when you see him line up at number three, it's like, well, I don't even have a chance at this. Like, just take the touchdown already, man. Like, it's not the matchup you want.
Was it like surreal from blocks drill in spring ball against George to the Super Bowl? Y'all were literally playing against each other the same way.
Yeah, I mean, he was messing with me out there a little bit. I was doing the same to him, but yeah, it was fun, man.
George messing around? Nah.
Yeah. Well, what would you expect? But him and Frank Clark, our DN, were talking a little smack. I saw some mic'd up videos.
Oh,
so.
George will chop it up. Did you guys get any interaction with them during the media week? I think I'm interested a lot in how this Super Bowl week works. Like, talk about how annoying it is or how cool it was. Like, your experience just the whole week going up into the game.
Yeah, we got down there about a week beforehand. I think we had three media days, which KF and Iowa wouldn't like that, boys. But, yeah, so the media day, it was actually pretty cool, but I just didn't know the main one we had. I didn't know what I was getting into. So it was at the Marlins Park, and they have this big stage set up on the infield of the baseball stadium, and we come through like a dugout tunnel and walk up, and they're – around the stage, the whole infield is just covered in people, and I don't know who these people are at the time, and the lights are off and they're playing music and got spotlights on the stage, and the stands have just fans because they opened it up to the public, so fans are in there. And you know, we walk up onto the stage, they introduce us, we're there for 5 minutes, then they turn all the lights on in this place and we start walking off the other side of the stage. And I've never been to the Super Bowl before, so I'm like, where are we going? I'm just following the line, and we walk off the stage, and all the people that were in the media, which is about 300 people on this infield, just start swarming you left and right. If you're Pat Mahomes, if you're a practice squad guy, it doesn't matter. Top to bottom, you're getting grabbed in every direction for interviews. And I mean, it was fun, but kind of overwhelming. So
what was the dumbest question you got asked?
Oh, man. Nothing too crazy. I got to ask a lot of questions about George.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, stuff like, you know, what teammate would you be? There was one guy was asking questions about what guy on the team am I going to for the wildest night possible. There was some. I'm not
decent
a big
question WWE though. Fan. That's a decent because a lot of those dudes have a lot of money. Yeah, they have a lot of fun with some of those guys.
I'm just gonna go based off of what you guys' parade looked like. I'm gonna just say Travis Kelce.
I mean, yeah, he's a wild man. He's a fuck out around. His brother, you saw his brother's speech too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
His brother runs in the family, so
it's you got to kind of be careful there because I mean, you make a little. We talked about it with Jake, and we related it to pizza. And slices of pizza, but you're making a little decent chunk of change compared to most people in the world. But there's some guys on the team out there that are making some fucking cheddar, my friend. And you can't just like go hang out with them and spend money like they do. Like you ever got?
What are you more excited about, the Super Bowl ring or the Super Bowl bonus?
Well, I can tell you I got the Super Bowl bonus already, and I only got 51% of that check because of taxes. So that kind of hurt me a little bit, man.
What was – the bonus was like what, like 120 or 100
– 124, yeah.
So 51% of that is about $63,000.
You're in the ballpark, right?
Yeah, in the ballpark, right? And you went and bought yourself – an. No, you probably say big head. You probably had to buy a new big helmet or something since they're running.
I'm cheap, so.
No, yeah, that should go right into a retirement account, honestly.
I'm going to buy you some new hair with that money, Clue.
Yes.
What it Dude, should do. Hey, but low-key, let's talk after the podcast. I'm down. No, you deserve it. And not only because of just your, you know, obviously, you're an Iowa guy. You do it right. You got Hitch on the team. He does it right. You know how to play ball. You're not just some guy, though. You're the you're like the best special teams player in the universe. And
you are the premier savage back of the NFL. Yeah, how does that feel?
That's really high praise, too. That's pretty elite.
It came out like a couple days ago, like last week, that only person to be in the top 10 in special teams. I think this was PFF, but like 2 years in a row was like Derek Watt or TJ. Was it Derek Watt?
Yeah, Derek from
you're the second one. Number 8 and then number 9, 2 years in a row. So you're basically, if you take the average, you're probably first or second best special teamer in the NFL. Obviously that's fucking elite. But talk about like the mindset of
talk about living my dream.
Yes, yeah, talk just about living.
Go ahead and tell me how my dream plays out in real life.
The savage back dream. I mean, for me, I was undrafted. Had to do, you know, anything I could to make the roster, and special teams is a good in, you know what I mean, to find a little niche and create yourself a role. And if you're a linebacker who's not playing every down, you basically got to be able to play special teams in the league just because you only got 53 guys on the active, and not even all those guys are dressing with inactives on game day. So, and our special teams coach is a beast, would fit right in with the Iowa style of stuff we do, take a lot of pride in it. So, I mean, I'm all in on that. You guys know me. So
you're basically, I mean, you're basically living that walk-on mentality in the league. Like you're an NFL walk-on. Basically.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, undrafted, basically, you know, the walk-on style, like all you guys know. So.
Yeah, fuck yeah. You ever pull a Josie Jewell and search your name after games and try to find motivation or?
I had done that a couple times, and then after Aaron Rodgers threw some tricks.
Oh no!
I stopped doing that real quick.
Let's talk about that. How was that,
dude? I texted you right after that. I gotta interject my opinion on this right away. Ben did not do anything wrong. Aaron Rodgers did some Hall of Fame wizard bullshit, and Ben just so happened to be the fucking guy in perfect position wearing the jersey.
Yeah, I got a couple death threats after that one.
So. That is not.
Wow.
See, that's not okay.
No, that's not fair, because fucking Dumbledore himself couldn't have, like, magically wanded that ball into a more perfect
That's
ball.
Like a play Pat would make, man, really. Yeah,
well, they're very similar. Like, A-Rodge is, like, the white Pat Mahomes. Oh. I guess Pat Mahomes is, like, half white anyway. But yeah, those two guys. Any other stories from this year where you were just on defense and like something happened and you're just like, what am I supposed to do? Like any guy you've guarded or like any play that's happened that's just like, how do I do this better than I already did it? And like, I'm fucked either way. Did you guys have to play the Ravens?
Yeah, we played them. I want to say like week 3 or 4 and we beat them, but Lamar definitely took some ankles that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's scary. I would be worried to step on the field with him.
Yeah. Yanda was out there too. One time it was like a 3rd and 4 and I'm in the game and they run the ball, you know, which I was more in there on passing downs, but right. They run the ball and I just see Yanda coming at me like a missile. And I step him luckily, but I was about to get a face full, man. So
dude,
he's a beast too.
How about Yanda pulling the GOAT move and just going out on top?
Yeah.
He didn't win the Super Bowl, but he just went all pro 12th year, whatever. He's like, I'm still the best, but I'm gone.
Body yeah. probably doesn't feel great, but bank account feels good.
First yeah. ballot Hall of Famer, man.
Oh, absolute first ballot.
100%. Ben, what are you doing right now? Like so I guess the Super Bowl was 2 weeks ago tonight. In the 2 weeks since then, how's life been for Ben, you know?
It's been good, man. A couple of days after the Super Bowl, we had the little parade in Kansas City, which was a blast.
Not a little parade.
Big parade. Massive parade. Yeah, that was fun.
How does that run? They're like, all right, we're going to run you to the end of the route. You guys get up on top of these buses, and we're just going to run you down Center Street and just
– Yeah, we had a little brunch or breakfast, I guess, at the stadium, and then they took us on these coach buses. And bust us over to, I don't even know where we were at, some kind of like a remote location. There was nothing really out there. We hop on these double-decker buses and then take off. And I don't know, the route was planned out and there was just people everywhere.
Did you catch any beers from the crowd?
I tried to throw a couple out. I saw one of my high school buddies' best friends that he went to college with that I met a couple times just – mutual friends, and I see him, he's front row, I grab a beer real quick, try to throw it to him, sail it about 4 rows too deep.
So did they have you guys stocked up on the buses with cases?
Yeah, they probably, so every position group had their own bus.
Wow. And
I want to say we had, I don't think like 5 or 6 linebackers on the active roster this year. Well, they had probably 5 or 6 like 30 racks of Bud Light on there.
Wow. That's incredible.
Like, no way you're going to drink all that. But yeah, so we were throwing those out. Half the time during the route, we all just jumped off the bus and we're walking the streets and just interacting with the fans and all
that's
that.
That's dope.
So, like, when you sailed that Bud Light 4 rows deep, did you, like, hit some lady in the head or, like, where'd that
honestly,
beer go?
I didn't – this sounds bad, but I didn't even watch the path of the Bud Light bottle once I saw I sailed it too far. So I could have knocked somebody out. But yeah, well, I just thought it was too far. I was like, well, that thing's
some
gone.
Little 5-year-old kid's like so excited to see the Chiefs and gets whopped in the head.
And Kevin, that's fucking dark.
Well, the one that Patty threw, the guy ran
yes, in. Yes, that's all I'm about to say. Did you see Pat lead the dude into the parking meter? Dude,
straight boom the parking meter.
He deserved that too. He deserved that. He deserved the beer, not the face of parking meter. But yeah, that's nuts. Gosh. So the party happened or the parade happened. You've just been chilling since. Like, are you hanging out in Kansas City now? Did you go home to see family? Like,
I came back to Iowa City, and I'm at my parents' house right now. But I took maybe a week and a half off, and then I worked out twice this last week with Doyle actually, which everybody was like, "Why the heck are you in here so fast? You need to go take a vacation." But
hey guys, yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Yeah, you do need to take a vacation to Arizona. We've been talking about it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You bum. Use some of that Super Bowl bonus. You got plenty. A plane ticket ain't that expensive.
It's that walk-on mentality, dude. He's on that life.
I get it.
Gosh, the life of a Super Bowl champion.
You coming over for Batch tomorrow?
Might have to, man. I haven't watched one episode of that, but
bruh. It's a weird season, but Kev, you watch? Are you up to date?
I watched like half the episodes, but I'm not gonna lie, it's high quality entertainment.
They produce an incredible show.
It's so terrible, and I love watching it.
Oh, it's incredible. This is a weird season,
dude,
though.
Dude, I absolutely can't do it.
Easily loves that show. And last year I was living at Arbery when I came back, and so I got into it with him a little bit and watched maybe half the episodes, but I just can't comprehend half the stuff that happens on there, man. It's real.
It's all fake. It's all set up, but it's because it creates an incredible TV show and they know what the fuck they're doing. That's why it keeps going.
No, it's because schmucks like you watch this shit.
Dude, if I stopped watching, all the girls are going to continue to watch. It's not like they're relying on Tyler Kluver to watch The Bachelor to keep the brand going.
I'm not going to lie. I live with three women right now, and they treat it like Super Bowl Sunday every fucking
every week. Single
yep.
day.
Yep. So Lauren and I do too. I come home on Mondays, and
I come home on Monday, and there's like four new bottles of wine that were just bought recently. There's like cheeses cut out and everything. They're all ready to go.
That's incredible.
They love to get little bit drunk and watch The Bachelor.
Hey, the rats
and just
need
judge the shit out of everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Ben, what was it like with I saw the videos on Twitter. Your high school pep rally chanting your name, like, what is that like?
That was awesome, man. So my high school coach, he wanted to actually FaceTime me in on like the video board.
That would've been sick.
Jumbotrons, but we're in the middle
but they said the practice. Jump it wasn't big enough, right, for your head.
Clue throwing shot back now, boys.
Dunk one in there.
I mean, it was
softball. But it didn't work out for the FaceTime, but then they got a little chant going. It was pretty cool. Sycamore is a small town, Muscatine, and so a lot of support from just the people there. And I was back there this weekend actually for one of my buddy's birthdays, and that community was just great.
I mean, you're a god, right? Like you probably, if you get noticed there, or you go to, I was going to say, even back in Iowa City now, like at least for the time being, even guys on the team that we played with like would be respectful, but you're a Super Bowl champion. Like you got to come up and say something about it to you if you're in the complex. You probably, when you went to work out, you had to go 30 minutes early so that people could talk to you and you could get to the fucking field to warm up, right?
I'm not that special, man, but getting a little bit more recognition than usual, but it's been good, yeah.
All right, so that's it. Cool. Awesome podcast.
See you guys.
All right, so Ben doesn't actually had his like own episode. Yeah, we're going to back it up, and we're going to do his story or what?
We can do a little Ben Neiman origin, yeah. I suppose, yeah, and then anything else that comes to Super Bowl, comes to mind with the Super Bowl, you guys can just interject, or we'll just let it flow. But Ben, you're a goddamn Super Bowl champion now, but once upon a time, you're a Sycamore – Sally or whatever you guys were, and
Martin, baby,
there you go. And and you're trying to figure out where you want to go to college, and your dad is a coach in college football, and you're I believe committed to Northern Illinois at the time because he's coaching there. And I know that all this came out pretty much because everyone was doing stories during that media week, and then all of a sudden you go from Northern Illinois Husky to Iowa Hawkeye. How does that all happen? How fast? And what's the thought going on in your head?
How pissed was your dad that he just lost you and he knows how good you are? And that can't be a comfortable conversation, dude.
Dude, my dad recruited you, right, Drake? Try to get you to go.
Yeah, he – well, so your dad and I didn't have a good relationship until you and I had a good relationship, and then I was like, okay, you know, all sins are forgiven because I didn't get a scholarship to Northern Illinois, and I thought I was going to. My head coach thought I was going to. Your dad was the bearer of bad news, so obviously – when you're 18 years old, like you knew me during college. Just think about how like just testosterone fueled vindictive I was at like 17 when all I wanted was a scholarship. So then it was like all sins forgiven. It was all water under the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, at least we never would have known each other otherwise, boys.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, we could have never.
I got the good end of it at the end of.
We would have never been able to exploit you for content.
Exactly, it worked out for the best. But yeah, that was kind of a crazy time for me. I was a receiver. You guys know when I came to Iowa, I was skin and bones,
skinny boy.
Yeah. But I was committed to Northern as a receiver. Had MAC offers, but really, I was kind of didn't. Send out my tape to a lot of places, didn't really go to camps, do all that stuff. I was just kind of content with playing for my dad, playing in my hometown and just kind of going to go with it there. And then I don't even know what happened. Somehow Iowa got a hold of my tape and I started connected with Coach Reed and LeVar, I think, Coach Woods. And I ended up going to camp there, and that was the only camp I went to. And got offered right after the camp, went to a little tailgate visit weekend deal that weekend after the camp, and George actually hosted me, and I was with him and Siege. And
I think I remember seeing you there.
And you saw
a young George Kittle in his element, and I was a good kid in high school, man. Just playing Xbox in my basement with my friends.
And let's be clear, George, at this time that you're talking about, not
this
exactly.
Is anger.
Yeah, not
this is,
exactly.
This is pre-anger talk. Yeah,
this is pre-anger talk. And I saw a wild side of college, and I was like, "Dang, is this what it's like?"
If you wanted to be, yeah.
So, came to Iowa. Keegan Render, I played. Youth football with. We were on the same little peewee team, and I knew him. And
shout out the Indianola Indians.
Yep, Indianola, the 515, man. But he was committing, and I don't know. I just really liked my visit and the whole Coach Ferentz thing and, you know, Big Ten football, just a different level of exposure, everything, a different level. I couldn't turn it away, so ended up flipping and – then it made it even worse because I flipped my commitment and then Iowa and NIU play in the season opener and NIU beats you guys. I think you guys were all true freshmen then, right?
Yep, that correct. Was our first game.
Yeah, so then, you know, I'm playing high school football games and I'm going through the line after games and coaches are saying, go to NIU, what are you doing? Like,
wow.
So I stuck with it, though. I knew I wanted to be at Iowa. And
how's that conversation go over with your father? Like,
yeah,
hey,
man,
Dad.
You still haven't answered the dad question yet.
Yeah, I mean – my dad's not an emotional dude, and when I told him I was flipping, he got emotional, which just – to be honest, I talked to my mom a lot more about it during the process just because, I don't know, I felt like it was a hair awkward because –
Don't fucking say.
Yeah.
It's not a hair. It's a full head of hair, and I don't have one of those, but it was that awkward.
Firing up yourself. But I think my mom and my dad both knew what I wanted to do, but – it was just, did I want to – it was a matter of me pulling the trigger, and I was ultimately, you know, kind of just nervous about how it would go.
Do you think the emotion from your dad was probably more based off of his 17, 18-year-old son making a big-time decision for himself and actually taking maybe the better offer off on the table and just, like – him watching his son grow up and having to make a hard decision or actually being emotional that he wasn't going to get to coach you?
Dang, I think it was a mixture of both. I mean, he saw less than 10 total of my college games. So it was a lot of like DVR, you know, playing back on.
Yeah. He lives that coaching life.
Yeah. So, that
Talk
was
about
part
that.
Of it.
Or sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that was part of it. But then I think he also was, you know, proud of me for stepping up and having to, you know, really, I guess, make a grown man decision as a, yeah, as a high school kid.
That was a really grown man decision because you had to then have the conversation with your dad. Because, like, most kids don't have that looming decommitment. They just have to tell a coach. You have to tell your father, like,
hey, right. Man, and it's really similar to, we've had a couple people, Drake, you kind of had this. It's similar to like that walk on at a big school or take the money at a smaller school decision where you have to like tell your parents like, yo, I'm turning down the money. You're going to pay for my college and I'm going to go take a chance. It's similar to that. And which is something I did. I had, not an official offer from two schools, but, they said if I came and I was basically their guy, they were going to offer me once I came on the visit. And I was like, nah, I'm just going to walk on at Iowa. And so that's kind of a tough decision. But even then when your dad comes into play, that's an even tougher thing, a thicker thing. Kevin, you were about to ask a really good question.
I was just going to say, so like your dad was a college coach, you know, what's that like, you know, growing up as a kid and, you know, I know you moved several times. So, you know, maybe just give the people a little insight, like how much of a time commit these coaches give to their program. Cause I mean, we talk about it. I don't think they fully understand. I don't think even we can fully understand it because, you know, our dads weren't college coaches. So that's gotta be tough.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. My dad, as you guys know, now is at Iowa with the D line, but I think this was my parents' either eighth or ninth move.
Crazy.
Yeah. Which is absurd. It's crazy. But went to, man, three or four different schools. I had to move. Sycamore, I ended up getting in there my sophomore year of high school, so I had to move in high school, which isn't easy either. My dad, fortunate for me and my brother, he was a D coordinator at Northern Iowa, UNI, and he said there was nights where he would come home and my brother and I were already asleep, and, you know, he would come in and say goodnight to us, and we would say, are we ever going to get to see you? Like, you're never around. So he eventually went and took a D3 head job and got to be around when we were, you know, doing the whole youth sports thing and got to coach us in baseball and have some more time around us. But, man, the hours are crazy. It's a different profession, and I love football, but I can never coach just because the hours are demand. So
yeah, that's I mean, Kevin's probably on his way there. He's basically Coach Parker disciple. We already talked about it. Kevin, actually, in the episode before you got to the episode this morning when we recorded with Travis, we were talking about how we're gonna get Coach Parker on someday, and me and Drake are gonna leave the podcast and we're just gonna let you and Coach Parker talk defensive scheme for as long as you guys can, and we're just gonna release that as an episode.
Talk about that for a long, long time, boys.
Yeah, it'd be good content.
Yeah, I just want Ben to talk about that because, you know, it is really, truly incredible the amount of time these coaches put in. And it's not just during the season, too. They got a little bit of dead times during recruiting the offseason, too. But, you know, they're on the road a whole lot in the offseason. They're recruiting kids.
We talk about Coach Morgan, now retired, so – you know, thank God he's got time to spend with his wife now and his family. But Coach Morgan recruited Iowa. You don't fly around Iowa. So he's driving, like, you hear those stories about some of the kids he finds in Iowa. He's driving 3, 4, 5 hours across the state to go to these random little schools in the middle of Iowa. It's like, he's just never home.
Just to talk to a kid for a half hour.
Who may not even come to Iowa. Like, it's wild.
Who may be trash. He's just going to find out.
Right. Yeah. Coach Morgan came to my school. Like, what the fuck is he doing in Marshalltown? There's no reason for him to come to Marshalltown.
Yeah, I would say, to be honest, though, the biggest shout-out goes to my mom because, I mean, there was – with all these moves, my dad a lot of times would have to go and leave and take these other jobs, and he would be gone for a month and a half, 2 months, and my mom's there with me and my brother having to do everything, and he and I were wild men growing up, so I can't imagine what havoc we were causing for her. But then – the house, she's in the middle of packing up the whole house by herself while my dad's, you know, hundreds, thousands of miles away on the other side of the country. And it's not easy. So big shout out to her for sure. But
okay, not hundreds of thousands of miles away.
He said hundreds, thousands.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm about to say he's not coaching on Mars, so.
No. You know, my dad, you know, he's 100,000 miles away. It's a long drive home from Jupiter, you know. And talk about, you just mentioned your brother. Talk about fucking Littlehead, Nick Neiman, coming onto the team, getting to play with him a little
not
bit.
Not Littlehead, Face. His name
is Face. Yeah. Face, I think.
Call him Face.
It's Head and Face. And talk about getting to be a part of a Division I program with him. And then
maybe some of us don't even know what it's like to have brothers, much less brothers that also play on your team in college.
Right. That would just be you, but
yeah, that's some of us.
Sure.
Yeah. So I know what it's like being the little brother. What's it like being the big brother?
It's great,
man. It was fun having him here. And he was in our little corner of the locker room, which, as Drake knows, was just a great time.
Legendary, dude. From 36 to like whatever, boom, 52. That was a legendary corner.
Yeah, I mean, the best corner in all of college football. By
it was far. Such a good corner that I considered switching my number senior year to just.
Yeah, you guys would just come hang out, even though your locker wasn't over there.
Yeah, I was gonna try and get 48 from Jack, but I couldn't. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a lot of fun having him around. Man, he had a great bowl game, and he's looking good right now. So I'm excited for his senior year. Hopefully he tears it up. But
how do you feel about Coach Wallace calling him the faster and more athletic Neiman?
Man, I just got back into workouts. I'm going to have to put that to rest and wax him a couple of times, man. Get back and show my dominance. But, no, he might have me, man. It's close. So he's a little bit bigger than me right now, I think, and he broke my 10-yard record, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, he broke my pro agility record, too. I'm fucking pissed.
Damn. Hey, look at this stud.
Face is going off, huh?
Take your job, too, Ben.
I think I still have the hang clean record, though. I'm not sure. You're going to have to check on that for me, Ben.
I'll let you know Monday.
All right.
Yeah, you'll see my name twice on the boards. But anyway.
Holy shit. Man, I'm such an underachiever.
It's crazy. Crazy what a long snapper can do in this world.
Beat Ben, other long snapper records. Crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Well, it's a specialist record. So I was running against kickers. So, you know, dusted Marshall Kane's ass in the pro agility. So it's not a big deal. Ben, how cool would it be if Nick Neiman follows the same path and gets into the NFL would you guys take a fight against the Watt brothers or the Bosa brothers if we could get the Neiman brothers also in the NFL? Like, would you take that rough and rowdy two-on-two fight? Or
absolutely.
Yeah,
We're not turning down from anybody. So.
Wow.
Set it up.
I'll tell you this. If it's the Bosas versus the Neimans in a boxing match or a UFC match, I'm putting all I own on the Bosas.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey. Ben. Then I'm going to put all I have on the Neimans because we already saw how it turned out in Kinnick. So as long as we're fighting this one on our turf, I'm going to referee.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll put all my money on the Neimans.
Okay, Ben.
We got the heart. We got the heart.
Ben, I love you, buddy. I was with you in the Super Bowl. But if it's a Royal Rumble with the Neimans, the Watts, and the Bosas, the Neimans are pulling the bronze.
Tough one. I mean, body weight alone, you guys are giving up a lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, hey, representing for the Caucasians out there, you know.
You got
all three of those brothers. Now, if you went up against John Jones and his brother, that would be a problem.
Yeah, I'm ended up in a body bag like Drake says, man. I'm out the door.
Yeah. Shout out Body Bags making an appearance in both episodes today also.
Body Bags made it in the earlier episode?
Yeah, with Neiman. Earlier we were talking about Lima screaming Body Bags on the sidelines.
Man. He was a maniac.
All right, boys. Speaking of Body Bags, Super Bowl fourth quarter. Talk about putting GQ man Jimmy G himself in a fucking body bag.
Yes, Kevin. Ooh. Yes.
Man, yeah, it had a little delay blitz, and it just opened up like the Red Sea, and that
was the green dog from heaven.
Yeah, I felt that was probably the best feeling head I've had. Just you know, the situation in. It was a good shot. So.
And did he smell good?
I didn't get fined, so that's big time too.
That's huge.
Did you just ask if another man smelled good?
Yeah, did Jimmy G smell good? Because he looks like he smells good.
Clue, I think you got a man crush that you're going to have to take care of. I can't help you with that.
I'm definitely going to ask George about it when he comes on. I mean, y'all know Jimmy G is one of the best-looking dudes on the planet. That man is elite.
But your butt's pulsating over him.
I mean, I get a little hot and sweaty, man. That's just what it is. How many texts did you get in, like, tweets and mentions about that hit alone?
Yeah, I mean, my phone was blown up after the game. I probably had, man, 150 to 200 texts, I bet. And then,
Jesus Christ,
you know, other social media platforms. I tried to respond to – I think eventually I responded to everything. But after the game, I was trying to just enjoy the moment and, you know,
sure,
enjoying the after party and all the other stuff. So I was laying off the phone for a little bit.
Should have been getting lit like a wick, so.
Yeah.
Do you – you said that you guys treated it just like another game. That's really hard to do, and that's from the top down. Talk about Andy Reid and the coaching leadership to be able to control emotions like that in a game and just relay to the rest of the team, like, hey, guys, calm your little dicks down and let's just play this like another game. It's 60 minutes of football. Like, that's what we got, you know?
Yeah, I think it helped us too, because I want to say, man, a huge chunk of our coaching staff had coached in Super Bowls previously. We have either four or five defensive coaches, and I think all but one had coached in a Super Bowl or won one too, and then Coach Reid had been there. But just going in before we even got on the flight to go to Miami that week before, I mean, they basically just laid everything out for us, and we knew how everything was going to go before it happened, and just tried to keep this practice schedule, the meeting schedule, everything the same. And you guys, it kind of had a little bit of a bowl game feel to it just from – us into practices and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, like our senior year with the New York trip, everything got cut down. We left later, like, and we tried to make it as normal as possible, but yeah, we tried to just keep it routine like, and I think it helped us. So
what is Andy Reid like as a coach? Like when he steps in the room, like what kind of guy is he? Cause there's so much, like, Barstool puts up so much shit about him just like eating burgers and like, I imagine him just like being the most normal guy, like talking about how he just wants to crush a Baconator or something like that. And it's pretty funny.
Yeah. He's a, like, I don't know, slightly funny, kind of undercover funny guy, I would say. He just throws some random one-liners out there that are hilarious.
The is guy, any,
Tommy, like KF.
Yeah. A little bit. Loves Tommy Bahama, loves cheeseburgers, man. Big cheeseburger guy. Every team meeting, so we'll show the night before a game, we'll show a little highlight video, and then leave to go get snack every time. And he'll give like a little 1 to 2 minute spiel, you know, just keys to the game, keys to victory, whatever. And then he'll wrap it up and just give a little, all right, I'll treat you to a cheeseburger. And then we break the game.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Man, it makes me miss snacks so much.
Oh, so bad,
dude.
Man, our snack is pretty good too. They got the ice cream, burgers. We got maybe a little bit bigger variety. They have like burnt ends there because Kansas City's
a big your boy Andy Reid is a big burnt ends guy. He said he ain't ever met a burnt end he didn't like.
Yeah, I mean he's the coach. You know they're gonna do snack right. I mean.
You don't want a skinny coach.
No, you definitely don't. So the life of Ben Neiman is pretty goddamn good right now then. Like the last couple of years have been decent.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years, championship game and Super Bowl. So I've been pretty lucky for sure.
How much time do you have off now? You said you're back in Iowa City training. What's the mindset now? What's the goal? How do you reset after a Super Bowl? Like, how hard is it to just say, all right, boys, like, we're going to come back. We're going to do it again. It's so different in the NFL where, like you said, even though you guys had a great year, a lot of the times, and that's why it's hard to create a dynasty in the NFL, you know, you got contracts that are up, you got salary caps that come into play, a bunch of business moves going on, a bunch of guys who aren't necessarily playing for the right reasons. Now, usually when you have a Super Bowl, like the, in a team like you guys, you got a lot of guys that have that same mindset working towards the same goal, but it's not just like a college team that can reset and everybody's just there for the love of the game. What is it like? What was, I guess maybe you guys haven't even talked about it, but what do you, you know, what's the mindset going into this next season? I think April is when like the first team activity stuff happens in the NFL. So
yeah, April 20th, we're back, but really we just kind of had exit meetings and everybody broke their own way. Just so much of our roster is going to change with free agency and the draft that it's kind of hard for, you know, Coach Reed gave us a short little spiel, just, you know, it's hard to repeat. It's hard to win it, even harder to repeat. Everybody's gunning for you. You know, you got to have a good offseason, that type of thing. But half the team, you know, isn't going to be there. So really when we come back to OTAs, you know, more of that will get going. Just talks of what we got to do to get where we want to be. But, you know, for now, everybody's just working out and going their own ways. I think probably this next month they're going to bring us all back and get together in Kansas City and then fly out and go on that White House visit, which will be elite, hanging out with old Donnie.
But you go to the White House.
Yeah. So
that's pretty crazy, my man. Are you going to – take a step in the Oval Office and try to make a few decisions quick? Or, I mean, Donnie might be able to challenge you. He's got a pretty big head.
I mean, why are you there? Why don't you try to get those taxes a little lower?
Hey, man.
Reimbursement, man.
Yeah, seriously. Damn. So, I mean, you guys sitting there pretty jealous of Ben Neiman? Because I am.
It was always a dream to win a Super Bowl, to play in a Super Bowl. And we've got a homie that literally did it. So yeah, I'm pretty jealous.
Ben, football doesn't last forever. NFL stands for not for long is the joke. What does Ben Neiman do after football? If the NFL somehow ran itself into the ground right now and you were out of a job, what would Ben Neiman do next? What'd you graduate with in college, and what's your passion, or have you even had time to think about that, or you're just eating cheeseburgers with?
He's just gonna keep winning Super Bowls, and he doesn't have to worry about doing
it. Yeah, dude. If you win like four Super Bowls, your pension's gonna be sweet.
That's true.
That's what I'm shooting for right now. And I don't know.
That's plan A, and there's never been a plan B.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's definitely plan A. I'm not sure. I can't even answer that, to be honest. Right now, I would say I want to do something in football, whether that's, you know, coaching high school, doing whatever, but I'm not gonna go the route my dad.
If you're a high school head coach, will you hire me as your strength coach? I got my degree in that.
Yeah, he's gonna make all your student athletes do drugs. Take steroids. Don't do that.
Take steroids.
No,
my whole team will be suspended by week one.
If Drake was leading a high school football team as their strength condition coach, they would be dirtier than the Bettendorf team of 2012, and they just would be. That's just,
and they'd get results. They'd
be fucking winners, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd win.
Ben's leading the squad, and I've got him in the weight room just juiced. Yeah,
the only high school team in the country that has nobody that can every single person's hang clean is over 315, and just be unreal. Anything else you guys want to touch on with Ben? He's obvious. I mean, he'll probably be back on at some point. I haven't talked to Andy in a while. He'll listen to this and he'll probably email me after this. But last I knew, they kind of were talking about bringing us down there again for the golf outing. And so maybe another chance to visit Falcon Lakes, and I'm sure the beer syringe would be back out, and I'm sure Bo would be in if he could make it. But
and I can shoot about 30 over par again. So that'll
yeah.
be good.
Yeah, but you'll be the feature. I know. One more question I wanted to ask. What's it like playing with Hitch, and what kind of relationship do you guys have? Because you never got to be with him at Iowa, right? He was gone before you came in.
Yeah, I think he was a senior your guys' freshman year, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
So Have you guys connected? Are you guys kind of, are you guys boys at all? Or is it more of just like another guy from any other team? Or is that just, that's just a cool kind of dynamic?
Yeah. I mean, he's probably one of the top three guys I'm closest with on the team.
Okay.
Great dude. His wife, Ashley, is awesome too. You know, there's just so many stories you can go back and talk about with Doyle, Iowa, you know, everything we went through, the people we know.
Yeah.
So he's been awesome. He helped me a lot last year, just kind of showing me the ropes, getting into things. And it's just coming from the same program, same culture, all that. It's just a common ground. And he knows what, you know, I went through to get there. And a lot of funny stories between the two of us. So, yeah. He was telling me the funniest story he had was, you guys will like this, I'll share it. He came home one day, and I think he was living with maybe like Kirksey, Carl Davis, some guys, and they went to Petco or Petsland or whatever and bought a full-size rat and put it in this man's bed.
In Hitch's bed?
Yeah. And he still doesn't know who did it. To this day, no one would bite the bullet. And he came home and goes in his bed and sees something moving around and starts tweaking out. Slant runs out. What's in there? They end up, like, I can't remember if it was BJ Lowry or who, but kills the rat. And Hitch didn't sleep at that house, he said, for like the next 3 days because he was scarred.
That sounds so much like something Carl Davis would do.
That's got Carl's fingerprints all over it.
Dude, we got to get Carl on the podcast, dude.
Big Carl.
Get Carl and Jaleel on here together.
That would be.
I think we'll be able to get Jaleel for sure. I still talk to Jaleel pretty frequently.
All right, we can get Jaleel on. Well,
Sugar Bear.
Yeah, if you guys don't have anything else for Ben, he's probably got a parade to get to, or you know, some autograph deal to go sign. So, anything else for the big head, or should we leave it with that nice little rat story to finish?
Oh man, that's a tremendous
finish. Oh, I got a quick question. Does Hitch know that KF talks about his banana story like at least once every month?
Oh yeah, he does. And he hates it, man.
Oh yeah.
He probably asked me 5 times. Yo, do you think KF still tells that story?
100%.
The worst part of it, the part of the story Coach Ferentz never tells is, I guess, so Hitch was a freshman when this happened, and he said, you know, the whole banana thing happened. He doesn't eat breakfast, just a banana. And he said the worst part is he goes out to practice, and pre-practice, Doyle rolls him until he throws up.
Wow.
As to practice, but they always leave that part out. So.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
The banana came back up. That is a toughie for Hitch, but his bank account also looks pretty fat now, so it's all right. It's all right, everyone.
He can buy all the bananas he wants.
KF will continue to tell that story because Hitch's story just continues to get better.
I was just going to say, it's going to get worse now. Like that's probably the story he opened up with the day after the Super Bowl.
After the Super Bowl, for sure, yeah.
100%. You know, Hitch, he was fucking eating a banana for breakfast, okay? He's a Super Bowl champion now, so I couldn't. He can eat bananas, all right? And he can eat oranges. If he wants, he can have an apple, all right? I don't give a fuck what he eats for breakfast because he's getting himself a Super Bowl ring, okay? But you guys, 18, 19 years old, you'd be eating some fucking breakfast, all right? We'll leave it.
That's pretty good.
We'll leave it. That was
really good. Go get a sandwich.
Solid. Yeah.
Grab it.
Go get a sandwich.
To finish on this, my brother, I told you guys, my brother just started the semester. He was floored that you could just walk into the weight room and grab as much beef jerky as you wanted and take it. So that's
filling up backpacks, man. I still do that now that I'm back.
Stealing some tuna packs.
I didn't pay for food the entire summer as an intern.
Yeah.
I did not buy one thing of food anywhere. 2 months.
So what kind of money would you fork over now for a fridge full of fresh shakes in a can?
I was just talking about this the other day because a client at the gym that I coach at played baseball at Nebraska, and he's like, so yeah, we used to have these Gatorade shakes in like a Campbell's chicken noodle soup can. It was just, it was just this black label, and they taste like, and before he could say it, I was like, chocolate malts. And he was like, yes, dude. And then they discontinued them. And I was like, if for any of those listening, if you can go find like the old chocolate Gatorade shakes that were in a pop top can,
like a metal tin can,
they are
like five times face value for them.
I would probably empty my bank account on it if I could.
Dude, they just taste so much better out of the can.
They were. That was truly the best protein shake that's ever graced this planet.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's a good way to end it. Ben, thanks for joining us. I'm glad the Super Bowl champion has time for three old friends that look super similar on the outside, but accolade-wise just haven't even come close to measuring up. You're a fucking champ, man, and I'm not going to be gay, but it's cool to be your friend.
Thanks, bro.
But also, if you want me to be gay, we can talk about that after the podcast, after we talk about you paying for my hair replacement. So,
okay, yeah, we can work something out, man. Right. Off air.
Right. Sick. that's it. Episode 91, 92. I don't know. We're the 100 mark. If you're listening, it's still at this point. Give us some ideas for the 100th episode, or like a guest that you'd like to have on for the 100th episode that we could potentially go after.
We got to do something crazy for 100, because this like end of the world shit. Like, if
let's
you
get were, Elon like, Musk. Listen,
like, the first three episodes, you're like, this thing's going to be done by episode 8.
Yeah.
And somehow we're still kicking.
Yeah, I don't know. That's it. For Ben Neiman, the Super Bowl champion, the biggest head in the world, Drake Kulik, and Kevin Ward. I'm Tyler Kluver. That was Wash Up Walk-Ons, and the Walk-Ons are out. See you next time.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.